First Baptist Church of Redmond, February 12, 2023, John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches.
The title of the message is very simple. I am the vine, you are the branches. The first phrase in John 15:5. I want to talk about not the Super Bowl. There's a team from Kansas City in the Super Bowl, but I want to talk about a move. In the early 1950s, teenage Lyle Dorsett and his family moved to Birmingham from Kansas City, Missouri. They were outsiders, often labeled Yankees by peers. But one summer evening in 1953, Dorsett was walking to his house after work and decided to take a shortcut to the campus of then Howard College. It's now Samford University. He was immediately intrigued by the sight he saw, a large tent on the football field featuring a magnetic preacher. As Dorsett drew near, he could hear the evangelist named Eddie Martin preaching on the parable of the prodigal son, calling other prodigals to come home. Dorsett said, "I knew I was a prodigal and needed to come home." Martin asked those in attendance to return the next evening. Dorsett came early, and this time he was seated near the front. When the call came, the evangelist led me through prayer. I confessed my need for forgiveness. While being led in prayer, I strongly felt the presence of Jesus Christ. I sensed his love and forgiveness as well as his call to preach the gospel. Shortly thereafter, Dorsett and his parents joined a local Baptist church. However, 18 months later, Dorsett's family moved back to Kansas City. On his return, he gradually drifted away. During his time in college, he embraced a materialistic worldview. He received a PhD in history, but despite professional success, he began to drink heavily. He became an alcoholic. His wife, named Mary, who became a Christian after their marriage, began to pray for him. One evening, he stormed out of the house after Mary had asked him not to drink around the children. He found a bar and drank until closing time. While driving up a winding mountain road, he stopped on an overlook and blacked out. The next morning, he woke up on a dirt road at the bottom of a mountain next to a cemetery, not having any memory of the drive. Dorsett cried out to God, "Lord, if you are there, please help me." At that moment, he recognized that the same presence he had met in Birmingham was with him in the car and loved him. The prodigal son had finally truly come home. He said, "Although I made countless mistakes, the Lord never gave up on me." God then called Dorsett to full-time ministry and ordination at a church, and eventually, believe it or not, he became the Billy Graham Chair of Evangelism at Beeson Divinity School, Samford University, where he had first heard God call to preach. He concludes with a quote, "Over the years, God has proved to be a gentle comforter, like when Mary and I went to massive surgery for cancer and when our 10-year-old daughter died unexpectedly. Certainly, the most humbling and reassuring lesson is his persistence in drawing me to himself. And it was he who pursued me and sustained the relationship when I strayed in ignorant, sheep-like fashion, doubted his existence, and then, like the prodigal son, deliberately moved to the far country. He viewed himself as moving far away from God. His last line, and it is all grace, unearned, undeserved, unrepayable grace. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 1 is repeated. You are the branches. A word is used for branch in the original, which literally means vine branch or vine twig. More fruit, verse 2, much fruit. Verses 5 and 8 is promised. This vine enables those who remain in him to produce fruit, not only, but much fruit. On the other hand, those who are out of relation to Christ can do literally nothing, nothing whatsoever. That holds true for not only the drunkard, the thief, the murderer, the immoral person, but also, we forget, but also for the poet, the scientist, and the philosopher who has not embraced Christ with a living faith. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up. And they gather them and throw them in the fire, and they are burned. Notice the five elements in the punishment of the man or woman who rejects the light. He is thrown away like a branch. That means he is condemned already. He is cast out. Second, he will dry up. Though such an individual may linger on this life for a while longer, he has no peace, no joy. Jude 1:12 says, these are the men who are hidden reefs in your love feasts. When they feast with you without fear, caring for, I would add, only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. He is like an autumn tree without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Unforgettable example that it would have been in the mind of the disciples immediately is Judas. Judas had betrayed Christ that night. And they gather, thirdly, and they gather them up and throw them into the fire. Matthew 13:30 and 13:31. That both grow together until the harvest, and the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in my barn. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather them up first the tares and bind them to burn them. The fourth thing, throw them into the fire. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all evildoers and throw them into the furnace of fire. And the last thing, and they are burned. Matthew 25:46 says, and they will go away into everlasting punishment. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and will be done for you. For those who abide in Christ, on the other hand, there was a great promise. Here the thought of positively abiding in Christ returns and is explained further. We learn that it means to listen to Christ's words. If you remain in me and my words remain in you because you do them, they become the dynamic of one's life, taking complete control over a person so that he both believes them and acts in accordance, parallel with them. The lives of such individuals, the effective prayer promise of 14:13 is realized. Abiding in Christ has these results. First, effectual prayer. Second, the bearing of, as Christ promised later, much fruit and fullness of joy. Let us talk about these things. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. The spiritual graces or fruits which adorn the children of God reflect his own being. Seeing himself, his communicable attributes reflected in their lives, he is glorified. Thus, those who by God's grace are already disciples become disciples even more and more. It takes a disciple to become a disciple. It takes a child of God to become a child of God. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. This love, moreover, was pure, wholehearted, deep, personal, intelligent, enduring. In all these respects, it was exactly like the Father's love for the Son. Just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you, or simply, just as the Father has loved me. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. The believer is surrounded by cords of love, which draw him closer and closer to his Savior. First, his love is always the first thing in the equation. We love because he first loved us. John 14:9. Now our love begins to operate. How does it manifest itself? The answer? We show our love by keeping his commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. It says in John 14:15. These things have I spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. These words, 15:1-10, Jesus has now told his disciples how much abiding in him and bearing much fruit, they will obtain the blessing of answered prayer and will abide forever in his love. Jesus has spoken in order that his joy might be in them, my joy, not the kind of joy or pleasure with the world promises. Compare later, my peace. Jesus wants to see this inner delight, this incomparable rejoicing in the hearts of his own disciples. They needed this, for at the present, they were troubled. They were filled with sorrow because they were just told that he would be leaving them. These branches are divided into two groups, those which bear fruit and those which do not bear fruit. In order to bear fruit, it is absolutely essential, necessary, to remain in the vine, connected to the vine, joined as an offshoot of the vine. The glorious results of abiding in Christ are effectual prayer, bearing much fruit to the glory of God, and fullness of joy. In such cases of each cycle of love, in which his love precedes, accompanies, and follows theirs, produces another better than itself. Branches that do not bear fruit are thrown away, allowed to wither, picked up, thrown in the fire, and burned. It is said that George Frederick Handel composed his amazing musical, The Messiah, in approximately 3 weeks. It was apparently done at a time when his eyesight was failing. If you look at Handel's script on The Messiah, it's available online. He had poor handwriting when he wrote the music. He was generally a poor penman, but he was especially poor because he had trouble seeing what he was writing. His eyesight was failing, and when he was facing the possibility of being imprisoned because of his outstanding bills, Handel, however, kept writing in the midst of these challenges till the masterpiece, which included the majestic Hallelujah Chorus, was completed. Handel later credited the completion of his work to one ingredient, the joy of the Lord. He was quoted as saying that he felt as if his heart would burst with joy at what he was hearing in his mind and what he was writing with his hand. Sure enough, listening to either the entire work of the Messiah or the Hallelujah Chorus brings great joy to one's heart. Similarly, in the midst of many challenges he faced, including chains, imprisonment, and slander, the Apostle Paul, filled with the joy that Christ gives, could say, Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it, rejoice. May the joy of the Lord fill your heart today.